Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our second great big giant Wednesday hour here on Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And this hour, we discuss living a truly human life. Is it maybe it's possible? Have you considered this possibility anyways, that the modern world, for all its many accomplishments, is making it actually harder for people to live truly human lives? What if modern people have kind of forgotten basic truths about humanity, and we live lives of frustration as a result of having forgotten those things? Can we learn how to live lives that are truly human? Would we choose it if we could? What would such lives look like anyways? Living truly human lives is our topic today. Your questions are welcome at 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Christendom College philosophy professor John A. Cutaback. Dr. Cutaback is a graduate of Christendom College and the Catholic University of America, where he earned his PhD. He's the author of True Friendship, Where Virtue Becomes Happiness, from Epic Publishing, and he is the founder and curator of Bacon from Acorns. That's a website, baconfromacorns.com, which aims through philosophy to help people live more human, happier lives. Dr. John Cutaback, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Cy. Thank you.
So you start out at Christendom College and then you end up there. So it must be quite an extraordinary place, Christendom College.
To be frank, yeah, it is. I fell in love with philosophy here, and I've count myself very blessed to have the opportunity to help other people fall in love with it too.
You know, you're teaching people to live the good life there, I think. I think that's what and I remember when I was a kid, if you said living the good life, it would have meant, and maybe it still does mean this in popular culture, it meant like living like Robin Leach, lifestyles of the rich and famous kind of life. But then I went to college and they said, oh, that's not what philosophers mean by the good life. Is there something to that? Is the good life other? Is it other than what is lived by the rich and famous? And is there ancient wisdom that can help us find that good life?
Well, that's certainly the question. I love it. You know, I've always enjoyed and been fascinated by the fact that these ancient thinkers raised these issues in very, very powerful ways. For instance, Socrates would go around Athens. And he would say things, this is paraphrasing, but this fundamentally is what he did. He'd say, I know people who are good carpenters. I know people who are good soldiers. I know people who are good politicians. But I know very few people who are good men. People know how to do all kinds of things. And they spend a lot of time studying how to do this and how to do that, but very few study and really consider this most fundamental of all questions. How do you be a good man? So this really was what Socrates was all about. His great student Plato, Plato's great student Aristotle. My view is, and actually there's church fathers who held this too, it was just a very special grace and gift given to humanity that in a special way these three men had the insights that they did, captured them the way they did, and are able to help guide us to ask these very basic questions in such a way as to come to some really key answers.
Why is it then I get the impression, and please correct me, you're the professor of philosophy, but I get the impression that if you ask one of these ancient philosophers, how do I attain the fullness of life, or how do I live a good life, they would have useful answers for you in a way that a modern philosopher would not. What happened? Or am I wrong about that?
Well, I mean, by and large, I always have to be careful in painting with broad strokes. But by and large, I think you're absolutely right. And frankly, as I say to my students, you know, have a seat and let's take a couple of years to try to figure out what's happened. I mean, yeah. That right there is in many ways the story of humanity for a couple of millennia. And there certainly is no simple answer there. Many contemporary thinkers hold a kind of myth of progress, as though you can always count on the fact that the humanity is going to come to deeper and deeper insights, and basically we're going to be getting better and better. I just don't think that's the truth. The fact is, the freedom is always there, and how we're doing as individuals, particularly how we're doing as a culture, because we are very much social animals, is up in the air and is to be determined by how we act. So, really, great question. What went wrong? I mean, we could keep it simple. I mean, sin went wrong in various specific ways. But the great thing is the wisdom is always there. There's always been a tradition that's carried it on. From those ancients and Christians picked it up. And, of course, Christianity provides a deeper wisdom, and it fulfills those things. So it's easy to be distracted by the fact that now philosophers, most philosophers out there, give bad answers to the fundamental questions, or they don't even ask the right questions. That's deeply discouraging, and it has profound effects on us and the world around us.
But what about if I come at it from another direction? There's probably a large part of the Christian world who will say the introduction of philosophy, these ancient Greek philosophers into Christianity, this is what polluted Christianity. We need to get back to some kind of pure gospel. How do we address that?
Yeah. That is an extremely important question. And here I go to, I'll kind of say, my great mentor and teacher, St. Thomas Aquinas. I say I have teachers that are alive in this world, and I have teachers that are not alive in this world. So when I refer to St. Thomas Aquinas, he points out that there's a light of reason and there's a light of faith. They are both lights. They never contradict one another, but by God's loving and generous plan, both have their role. And for the light of faith to work as it should, the light of reason needs to be functioning well. The Catholic Church has certainly always held this and has always been a great proponent of the natural sciences, in a particular way, the queen of the natural sciences, philosophy, because it provides the fundamental insights. There is already the fundamental wisdom there that provides the context and foundation for understanding divine revelation. So good philosophy is handmaiden. It goes hand in hand with good theology, with the faith.
Do you feel as a teacher of philosophy that if you get people asking questions and looking to the ancients for the answers they had, that is a kind of pre-evangelization, maybe, or a preparation for them to come fully to the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I absolutely do. And interestingly, I mean, the gift of the light of natural reason is always an enduring and powerful gift for those who have the faith and for those who don't have the faith. I spend most of my time teaching people who have the faith, and it's always interesting to me how it stretches them, how it puts their faith into a new light. It really does empower them, enable them to look again, see again in many ways, maybe kind of for a first time, to realize how Christianity itself has the answers to these questions, which the great ancient philosophers help us formulate. On the other hand, quickly, there's also the fact that philosophy has a great power to reach people who don't have the faith. This is one of the things I love about philosophy. It's key for those who have the faith. It never loses its importance for those who have the faith, but it always has a unique role, particularly in the world in which we live, where there is so little faith. I'm not saying we don't preach Jesus Christ. I'm a Catholic. I am all deeply convinced that the way to reach people is fundamentally to preach Jesus Christ. At the same time, we have to be wise as serpents. We have to understand what to say in what context, and sometimes to be able to advert to philosophy, to use a certain wisdom that does not appeal to the faith, can often be a very powerful way of evangelizing.
888-318-7884 is our number. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live, and our guest is philosopher John Cuddeback. We're asking the most basic question: how do you live a truly human life? And it's a particularly pressing question, I would suggest to you, and I will continue to ask Dr. Cuddeback, his view, as modernity becomes more and more frustrating to people, the modern life provides more and more things, and it also provides a higher and higher level of frustration in the world. One that I would suggest, I don't know how you feel about this, Dr. Cuddeback, now often has us at one each other's throats because we as much as we are these liberated modern selves, life is somehow lacking something for us.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And here I'm going to take us back to Socrates for a moment. And in a little book of his, I highly recommend. It's accessible, at the same time absolutely profound. It's called The Apology, or sometimes just translated as The Defense of Socrates. It's the account of the speech he gave when he was on trial. But one of the things that he says that he would do is he would challenge people, and he would say, "Are you living?" I love this line. "Are you living as though the most important things are most important, or are you living as though less important things have more importance than they do?" And he literally goes on to say, "Are you living as though what's most important is the truth and the goods of your soul and your character, or are you being distracted by wealth and power and honors?" Some things never change. I mean, the fundamental dichotomy was right there, and he saw it. What is a truly human life? Our culture is living as though things that are not most human are most important. And Socrates called it in ancient Athens. He can call it for us today also.
888-318-7884 is the number. I mentioned your website, Bacon from Acorns. We'll talk about that a little bit on the other side, because it strikes me as a very practical undertaking, writing and speaking in ways that help people identify the truth about life so that they can live that truth and experience the fullness of their own lives. A pretty good project you got going on over there. We'll talk about that when we come back. And your questions for Dr. Cuddeback are welcome. 888-318-7884. Truly human life is our topic this hour. 888-318-7884. Right back with that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Summer is upon us, and though the temperatures are going up, the prices are coming down during Catholic Answers' first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, dozens of great books are available for $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. This is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for you, your friends, and your family. The spectacular online event offers savings of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions of our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription of the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or by logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription, and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. But better yet, become a two-year subscriber, and we'll up the ante by dropping the price by $20. That's a savings of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now, because this is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
As a human being, I have to admit that the question how to live a truly human life strikes me as an important one, but also one that I have spent most of my life probably avoiding. And if you're at all like me, we'll take a moment here and we'll consider what makes a truly human life. And we are a Catholic radio show, so of course we consider the place of Christ in that. Dr. John Cutaback is our guest this hour. He is professor of philosophy at Christendom College. We have all these graduates in here that work for us from Thomas Aquinas College. I don't know, we got like a pipeline coming down, and they all tell me that Christendom is almost as good as Thomas Aquinas College. I don't know if that is a fair thing to say or.
Well, they're almost right.
I'm so glad to hear you had a comeback for them. I never know what to say to them. Okay, so ancient wisdom can help us to live truly human lives. Let's say that I have been listening and I'm convinced of that. Give me some ancient wisdom.
Well, okay, here's one shot of it that to me is at the center, and as I like to say to my students, fasten your seatbelt because it's powerful. And even if we've heard words like this before, we can never hear them too much, and we need to try to look again and see the wisdom that is therein. Aristotle, when he asks what human happiness is, he explains, happiness is not the reward that you get for having been virtuous. To be virtuous is to be happy. To live virtuously is happiness in action.
All right, I'm gonna pose an immediate problem comes to mind, that virtuous people so often end up just suffering for virtue. I mean, virtue would seem to be almost to require suffering.
Yep, and that's where that's where part of the wisdom is to see that suffering and happiness are not incompatible, that we have to suffer, that we do suffer. Experience shows is often very much a part of the lives of those who are most happy.
So that would suggest to me that when Jesus says to us the words that we really don't like to hear, take up your cross each day and follow me, he's actually giving us a formula for our happiness?
He is. He absolutely is. Now here, I am going to come back and qualify it by saying this. Ultimately, and honestly, you could do this from the viewpoint of natural, and in general, when we take in the viewpoint of natural reason, and I'm going to insist that it fits perfectly with our faith, even if I'm not necessarily, enunciating the faith. So you can say this either from the viewpoint of natural reason itself, or you can go to the faith. But from either one, we can see suffering is necessary because it is a part of how we grow in virtue. It's the virtue that constitutes our happiness. Our Lord is not going to say that suffering is happiness. Aristotle's certainly not going to say that suffering is happiness.
I see.
But is suffering absolutely incompatible with happiness? No. And might it be a key part of how we develop our character and become ourselves? Yes. And this is where I love how Aristotle points out that we should grow in wisdom. Not everyone who grows in age does grow in wisdom. There are people that are old in years, he says, but still young in character. But as we grow, we really should be able to see, particularly if we're striving to live well, we should be able to see in our own lives and those around us how suffering has become integrated into a lovely life. Think of marriage. Think of how in a good marriage, you suffer together, but then that is actually part of what has made you stand in the relationship that you do. That right there, I think, is a great natural analogy of what our Lord is saying to us. He's, in a sense, looking us in the eyes the way spouses can and say, we can do this together. This is going to be difficult, but we are going to work this through. And in the very suffering, we are becoming more ourselves. Happiness doesn't equal suffering. but suffering in a kind of mysterious way, granted, mysterious way, is a part of our growing in character and our coming to happiness.
All right. You said something there a couple times that I think is going to be baffling to many of our listeners. And I'll admit to my being baffled by it myself at times, but you said becoming ourselves. I think a couple times you said that. It's part of the process of becoming ourselves. I am myself. What could that possibly mean, becoming ourselves?
Right. Okay. Good. Thanks. You are and you aren't. I think that's the thing we need to see. Sure, I'm John Cutterback, but in very important ways, I am not yet the man I can and should be. So we're going to just focus on this for a moment. This is where St. Thomas has a great line, ubi amor, ibi oculus. Where there's love, you can see. It's a great principle in relationships. It's the person who really loves you, who really understands you, who mm-hmm. can really see you. So picture this. I'll give the example of a parent and a child. Same thing. We could do it between spouses, but how about between a parent and a child? The parent is often able to see what that child can be. And seeing what the child can be, it is having an insight really into, I say, who the person is, in the sense of who the person is called to be. This is part of the beautiful notion that natural is expressed by Aristotle's notion of nature. A nature is on its way someplace. And nature has not become itself until it has fulfilled the potentialities that have been written into it. And so this goes for all human beings. We all have the potential to be something great, just as human, and then amazingly, each in our own personal, particular way. And so I can say about you, Cy, if I knew you better, I'd be able to, if I were a good friend of yours, I would have eyes to see and to help you see where you are falling short of being who you're supposed to be.
That is why I never call my friends back. You have nailed it right on the head. because I don't want to hear it. But I appreciate that you made that point. I didn't want to neglect to talk about bacon from acorns, and I'm not going to. But I do annoy people by monopolizing the conversation sometime, and we have many callers. How about we at least take a call before I go back to asking you about bacon for acorns?
Sure.
All right.
No problem.
We're talking about living truly human lives today. We're talking about using philosophy and the wisdom of the church to get there. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Tom in Ohio, listening on 820 AM, is our first caller. Tom, your question for Dr. John Cutterback.
Oh, greetings. Can you all hear me?
We can. Thank you.
Hey, is Plotinus's writings on the soul, as he describes it, is that contrary to Catholic teaching?
That's a tough question. Plotinus is for those who don't know is called a Neoplatonic thinker. He came after the great trio of Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. He had a great influence, for instance, on Saint Augustine, the great father of the church. I'm going to put it this way. That's a deeper issue. In short, I'm going to say Plotinus has some great insights. There's some things that he holds that are absolutely incompatible with Christianity. That doesn't mean he doesn't have some great insights. So as with a number of other philosophers, you have to be careful with Plotinus. Some good things there, you got to be careful. In short, that's my answer.
Any one thing in particular that you can point to?
You know what the most important thing with Plotinus is that he holds that God created of necessity. And so he doesn't hold that creation came from a free act of love on the God's part. It was more of a necessary emanation from God. And so that is obviously contrary to a very fundamental aspect of Christianity. There are a couple other things that we could talk about. Plotinus doesn't have the rich Aristotelian Aristotle's understanding of the relationship of soul and body as being related to one another as form and matter, two principles of one substance. And so there's some things there when it comes down to some very important deeper points about understanding human nature. Plotinus is not going to be your best guide, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have some incredible insights about the centrality of contemplation, about the importance of moral character, about the importance of turning from lower things to higher things, to try to tune in to the one from whom we have come, and only therein is happiness. Plotinus does see that.
Tom, you can probably hear the music. That means we got to take a quick break. Thank you so much for that question. If you'd like to speak with Dr. John Cuddebeck about living truly human lives, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more of that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
What difference does it make who or what you worship or what you believe? Sharing the faith used to make some people mad because it challenged their own strong beliefs. Today, it makes a lot of people yawn because they don't have strong beliefs about anything. Religious indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates modern culture. This is Matt Nelson, and in my new book, Just Whatever, I'll take down the building blocks of religious indifference one by one. We'll look at the different kinds of indifference you tend to encounter in your friends and family members to see where they come from and why they're seductive. What you believe matters. Find out why and what to do about it in my new book, Just Whatever. You can order your copy of Just Whatever by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am just so pleased to have Dr. John Cuddebeck here with us talking about living truly human lives. Lots of wisdom among the ancients in that regard, and we do ourselves a great favor when we try to tap that. I did kind of mention your website, Bacon from Acorns, and people can find that at baconfromacorns.com. I hope you do. I now get a message from you on Wednesdays. And what is it you're trying to do there at Bacon from Acorns?
In a word, I'm trying to take what I love about philosophy in the classroom and bring it to a wider audience. I had the blessing and the opportunity to see year in and year out in the classroom how these fundamental principles, these fundamental insights of the ancients, change people's lives. Perhaps most of all, by giving them the wherewithal to think clearly about how to live. And so I just, with that in mind, I started a website where I thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do something short once a week. I'll do my Wednesday quote. I'll take some great quotation that's come up in my teaching, and I'll share that with people, and then I'll write a couple very brief paragraphs, a couple short reflections, trying to show how that great insight makes a difference in our life. So I wanted it to be a kind of way that people, a lot of former students do it, a lot of people that never had the opportunity to get a liberal education, study philosophy, like to tune in and to just get little snippets. It's like a little drip mini course, week in and week out, kind of reminding us this wisdom is here, we can turn to it, and it will make our lives better.
And the site is beautiful. It's physically beautiful as well. As a matter of fact, you wrote on beauty today. And how much of being a true human, becoming myself, as you had put it earlier, is connected to not rushing all the time, not always being in these kind of artificial environments, like, I mean, not to say anything against McDonald's, but I mean, you know, this things that are the great sameness of the modern world. How much of that, getting out of that and being quieter and slower, is connected to living a fuller life?
You're raising the great issue, and I say it's very connected. And if I may kind of step back for a moment to say, it's exactly that kind of issue that these principles help us address. Do I stop at McDonald's? Of course. But frankly, if you said something against McDonald's, I'm not going to take issue with that. The so many of the contexts in our lives that we've started to take for granted are in varying degrees can have a dehumanizing effect upon us. And we, again, these principles, this ancient wisdom helps us see that. It helps us then be able to start to think about it. We don't have to be scared. One of the most common responses I get of people who read the blog is, it was so comforting to hear you say that or to explain that, because they'll say, I kind of knew that, or I had this intuition that was the case, but then you took this great ancient thinker and you made it clear and you helped me understand why I've been thinking this, or why I have a problem that young people are not good at face contact and communicating because they're always on their phones and things like this. It's not about carping and complaining about problems, but we have to be realistic. Our life is being threatened in fundamental ways. We're not eating together with our families. Young people don't know how to look people in the eyes and communicate and empathize and stand in real and true relationships. There is no human happiness without real friendships. And the very possibility of friendship is becoming harder, and young people are being stripped of this by the banal context that they are put in, that are made to look all glittery and happy through media and so many other sources. So this is very serious stuff. We need to gird our loins and to think clearly. How are we going to act? There's no cookie cutter answer. But the point here is, these basic principles give us the foundation to think clearly and to work together with our friends and families on these things.
That's a ringing, passionate endorsement of friendship in that critique of the dehumanizing effects of our contemporary world. What are we not getting about friendship? What are we missing?
You know what? I think one of the main things is we're missing the importance of character, the importance of how friendship is a matter of sharing deeper things together. The notion of friendship has been so banalized. Friends wants to share life together, but what is life? The notion of friendship always brings you back to the most fundamental issues. We just said the fundamental insight was about the good life from the ancients was that in virtue is happiness. Well, virtue, then you carry it right over to friendship. You can only stand in as good a relationship to another human being as you are striving to live virtuously. For Aristotle, true friendship, the deep, most important kind, there's other kinds too, but the deep, most important kind is in living virtuously, striving to be virtuous together, seeking these deeper things together. That's what unites people. The more banal the thing, these things don't unite us. They leave us empty. So friends need something richer.
888-318-7884, the number. Again, I am falling into that problem of monopolizing you. I really do. I must confess that it's a great privilege to have you here with us, but I have to go to callers. Otherwise, it's just mean and unfair.
No problem at all.
How about we go to John in Mount Vernon, Illinois, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. John, your question for Dr. John Cutaback.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Very well, thank you.
Hi, great, thank you.
Great. I'm listening to the show, and I have a lot of respect for what's being discussed, but I'm getting confused. I will admit that I am a novice in formation for the permanent diaconate, and there's a lot of philosophy in our intellectual formation. And as I'm listening to the show, and particularly, you know, some of the ancient Greek philosophers that you're quoting, you know, it's very, very, very interesting. I'm glad to know that you know, many of their philosophies involve a deity and virtues. But I want to know that the Catholic Church, which you know, I love to death, is the truth and not just another way of thinking.
Amen.
And when I hear so much ancient philosophy, somehow doubt creeps into me.
Well, I have a thought for you. I certainly think, well, I can understand that. I think if we look closer, we'll see that it absolutely should go the other direction. It certainly is the case. We can all be discouraged. The great philosophers point this out. Aristotle points out it can be discouraging when you see how much difference there is in how people think. And it can make you be tempted to become a relativist. Aristotle and Plato, to me, are though a great answer to relativism. While they understand that temptation, at the same time, they have absolute confidence. If we dispose ourselves well, we will be able to see the truth. Now that we'll see the whole truth. If Socrates insists, the more you come to see, the more you'll realize there's much more to see that you haven't seen yet. But there is an objective truth that they were highly aware was much deeper and greater than they had yet seen. And the way I really want to point out to you the beauty of how that fits good philosophy. Because there's always going to be bad philosophy. The effects of sin in human life are dramatic. There's always going to be bad philosophy. But good philosophy points towards the truths of our faith. It points towards the fuller fulfillment of our deepest desires in a God who speaks to us and shows himself to us. I'll put it to you this way. For Aristotle, all the greatest philosophers saw we only come to real happiness when we're able to see the deepest truths, where we're able to somehow get in touch with the God from whom we've come. They had no notion that God might reveal himself to us. They had no notion that God might become man. But Christianity fits perfectly. They did not see that. So they are not Christian, and they fall short of Christianity. But I always like to think, and I think it's true, had they known that this God actually would come and speak to us and call us to an intimate relationship with himself, they would see that as the fulfillment of what they had seen. So we can't do much more now, but I just really want to give you the encouragement. The great St. Thomas Aquinas, greatest theologian of the church, he saw the fundamental truths of philosophy, had absolute conviction that it stands with, undergirds Christianity, even while Christianity is the perfect fulfillment of that. The truth will set us free, and the truth is one, even if very deep and complex.
John, I want to go back to you. How does all that strike you?
I was just saying that 1 minute explanation soothed my soul. I'm back. You know,
good.
You just listen to it, and really, it sometimes it, what it really says is. We all need further study, I think, or at least I do. And I just wanted to also make one comment on the friendship thing.
Okay.
I think friendships have become very surface kind of like friendships, not really deep friendships anymore. We're not reliant on each other as a community anymore, even as our parents might have been in the 30s and 40s. I'm a 60-year-old man, so things have changed. You know, self-reliance is the new notion of the day.
Right.
And so I think friendships, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear my kids and grandkids talking about their friends, and I find out that it's really just some Facebook friend that they've never met in their lives.
John, you know, what you're saying is very, very important, and it's central to the work that John Cutaback does. So I'm going to ask you to actually hang on through the break if you can, because I want to continue this very, very important conversation with our guest, professor and philosopher John Cutaback from Christendom College, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Have a question? We've got answers.
Catholic Answers.
I love it.
Live.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here. Can you feel the heat? Summer is upon us. Things are heating up, my friends, and that includes our first ever summer book sale and the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, we've got dozens of great books offered at $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. So you can load up on solid Catholic books for yourself, your friends, and your family. This spectacular online event offers saving of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists, including yours truly. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now and all this month to the store at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff, because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just wanted to thank you for your show. It's made such a huge difference in my faith life. Because if you don't know why you're doing things and you're just going through the motions, it's totally pointless. But if you know why, it's infinitely meaningful. So you really helped me make a 180.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
John from Mount Vernon, Illinois, is on the line for John from Christendom College. And I have to tell you, John from Mount Vernon, thanks for hanging on. You're hitting the grace notes of John Cutaback's philosophy, I have to say. But he's when we went to the break, John from Mount Vernon was talking about the kind of shallowness, surfaciness of our relationships and our lack of a maybe felt need for community. You want to address those points?
I'm sorry. And John, sorry. Sorry, you're talking to me, John, or the other John?
Oh, yes. Dr. Cutaback, if you could respond to that. Yeah.
Sorry. Absolutely.
No, it's all right.
And so one of the points that I love most is the way that Aristotle sees that happiness most of all is going to be in our having a certain character, but it's not in having that character alone. That ultimately human happiness is lived in friendships, which is this kind of very close, tight, small community, and then in the broader community also. We are profoundly social animals. And of course, this is just another instance of where the insight of natural reason fits so perfectly with divine revelation, of how there's that Trinitarian aspect to us of we're made for relationship. It's a very reflection of our being an image and likeness of God who lives this Trinitarian life, our social character of human happiness is in living well together, living well together with your friends, with your loved ones, that is life at its height.
John from Mount Vernon, your last comment for us.
Yes, I love that. I think that if, you know, if we were more practiced and lived our lives in more of a virtuous way, and we appreciated what the Catholic Church was teaching with regard to some of these virtues, let's say the first and most important commandment, love, loving one another, caring for one another. People will hear that today and they'll say, oh, that's so idealistic, it's ridiculous, it's not going to happen. Well, only if we don't let it spread. You know, only if we are the few who, as you were saying, you know, gee, I think sometimes when you try to practice virtue, you might be persecuted. Yeah, that's true. But if more would do it, just like, you know, the divorce rate is up today. If more people practiced not having sex before marriage and they built that relationship on something more, something deeper, and they married, and then they had children, they had sex, they loved one another. You know, and then let's follow up with that. Don't commit adultery. Okay, so we don't wander. We're now in this happy relationship. It was built on something more than just superficial sex. And now we don't stray from that. This world would be different.
It would, John. Mm-hmm. It would. And I really appreciate your call. We're going to have to sign you up to be a guest on the show one of these days. I appreciate all that you've said. John, cut it back before I go back for other calls. Any final thoughts for John from Mount Vernon?
I have a 10-second final thought for him, which is a thought for everybody. It's something I often say to my students, and I try to remember myself. And I say it from the bottom of my heart. I'm convinced that the truth of the matter is the more we see the truth of reality, we will always find out that things are even better than we thought they were. And I'm saying that just as a word of encouragement to you. There's so many ways we can become discouraged, but the truth always ends up being better than we thought it was. Just a word of encouragement. We need to keep encouraging one another on that.
Again, John, thank you so much for that call. We go now to Claudia. Listening on EWTN. Claudia, your question for Dr. John Cutaback.
Thank you so much for having him. He's a genius, and I love him. And I want to be able to read your books, and so please let us know about your website. My question is this, since talking about that the truth will persevere and it's going to be, it would be, we would be successful as Christians, by trying to see, make others see the truth, but it's so difficult. My question is, how can I help somebody that is pro-choice to, and he's not Christian, he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, and he's an educator, but he is not using human reason. We have a conversation yesterday, very friendly, but the opposite. He's saying that the two cells, when they join together, they are not human cells. So how can you reconcile that the two points? He's not Christian. He doesn't believe in Jesus. If I talk about Jesus, he's not going to listen. And if I use human reason, he comes up that the two cells, the two gametes, are not humans. So how can you make them come to reason?
Okay, Claudia.
Yeah, Claudia, you ask a very important question. There's good news here, and there's also some hard news. But most fundamentally, it's good news. And the good news is both reason and faith have the same answer. The light of natural reason is clear on this. I mean, frankly, his science is wrong. The science is very clear on once conception has taken place, we have a human being. The more that science is able to study the zygote, the fertilized egg at conception, the more it just becomes clear from the simply scientific viewpoint that this is a human life. there's much that we can do beyond that, beyond just kind of focusing on the science, to talk about human dignity, to talk about natural law, to talk about the insights that we can all have into the difference, for instance, between humans and lower animals. There's so much to be said here. We're not going to be able to go through each aspect of what you would say, but here's my main, Claudia, was it? Claudia, this is my main suggestion for you. Just don't expect more of yourself than you can give. You could make a great argument and speak very clearly and eloquently, and there still is a very high chance that people will not have ears to hear. So don't put the burden upon yourself as having to have the perfect thing to say that will change people's hearts. God changes people's hearts. Let yourself be God's instrument. Put yourself in his hands and then think about what you might best say. My general recommendation is this: speak from the heart. Most people today are becoming less and less amenable to the rational arguments, as important as they are. It might sound funny for me to say this as a philosopher. I particularly encourage you. You can say things along these lines. Isn't it very clear the dignity of each human being that we see in our own experience? It's not dependent upon the age of the person. And you speak from the conviction of your heart. I think the thing that will most tend to move people, and again, it depends upon the person, is for you to speak with absolute confidence in what you have to say. Again, and don't hesitate to share your faith also. But it isn't, your conviction is not just rooted in your faith, Claudia, because it can be seen from natural reason. It can be seen from good philosophy. It can be seen from good science. So the hard news is people are becoming more and more deaf. It's going to be harder and harder to reach them. We put this in God's hands, and we pray, and we speak from the heart, and we speak with conviction. And this is all that we can offer.
Claudia.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that, yeah, thank you so much for the advice. I just feel that I planted the seed, and I think that all of us ought to talk and speak up, even though if we are in an environment that is hostile to us. I feel that I have been successful because we are afraid to talk about Christ or all these issues because we may be fired from work. I have taken the chance, and I want to encourage everybody to do it. I haven't been fired yet. They are still putting up with me. I keep talking and talking about this. So, yes, we need to talk.
God bless you. God bless you, Claudia.
Thank you so much, Claudia. It's inspiring. Before I let Claudia go, I wanted to get a clarification of when she said, "I love him and he's a genius," if she was talking about me or you. But I forgot to ask her, so I'll just.
I think I know which one, but I'm not going to.
I think she was talking about me, but I wasn't able to ask her. So
we'll go with that.
Claudia, thanks so much for that call. Dr. Cutterback, I hope we'll get to do this again. I want to remind people that if they want to connect to your effort as a philosopher to help people in the everyday struggle of modern life to live truly human lives, they can go to baconforacorns.com and sign up there for your Wednesday thoughts. They're brief. You don't have to feel that you're going to be getting some tome, but they're good. So you might wish they were a tome once you read them. That's right, baconforacorns.com. Am I correct in that?
From, but you got it. Bacon from acorns.
Oh, what did I say? Bacon for acorns?
They'll find it.
We're not going to feed the acorns bacon. That's not going to work. Your students at Christendom College are blessed to have you. We've been blessed to have you. Will you do this again with us sometime?
I would sure love to. This has been a blessing for me. I really appreciate it, Si.
Okay, so can you put it in one sentence for me, all the wisdom of the ancient world, so that I can leave with something in a nutshell?
Okay. Reality is an astounding gift, the beauty of which we will never fully comprehend.
Well, you did it. I'm so impressed. I thought I had assigned you an impossible task. Dr. John Cuddeback, you can find him at baconfromacorns.com or go take a class at Christendom College. I highly recommend it. Thanks so much for being with us today. Don't forget, hey, the big sale over at shop.catholic.com is just days from ending. Go to shop.catholic.com, get all kinds of cool stuff for just $1, $5, or $10, and $5 flat rate shipping on all of it. Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. Any question you've got on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church will be welcome. God willing, we'll see you then on Catholic Answers Live.